Merry Christmas. We are glad that you are here with us this evening to celebrate our Savior's birth. We welcome you. If you don't have a normal Sunday morning home and you're visiting with us this evening, we welcome you to join us on Sunday morning at 10:30. Got a couple birthdays that we're wanting to bring out. Calvin Carrick, Eugene Queen, Calvin Blower, Jimmy Harrison, and Elisa Summer. Let us pray. Watch over your children, O Lord, as their days increase. Bless and guide them wherever they may be. Strengthen them when they stand. Comfort them when discouraged or sorrowful. Raise them up if they fall. And in their hearts may your peace, which passes all understanding, abide all the days of their lives. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Please join in our opening hymn, number 267.
Of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty God, you made this holy night shine with the brightness of the true life. Grant that here on earth we may walk in the light of Jesus' presence, and in the last day wake to the brightness of his glory, through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
I'll invite the children
come up this time. Well, Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Now, let me ask what you think I have in here. It's not candy, no. I bought candy last time, so. No, it's not presents, exactly. What do you think I might have? Do you think that I might have a doll in here? Do I look like the kind of guy to have a doll?
No,
I don't think. Well, surprise. When I was a little boy, my grandmother had a doll that I thought was just fascinating. You know why? Because there are more dolls inside. Now, I was about probably some of your ages, and I discovered that, and I thought that was the most interesting thing because every time you opened it, there was another doll. Smaller and smaller. Now, what do you think this story is that these dolls are about? What was the first one? The first doll I showed you? Okay, what was the second one?
Jesus?
No. I and my kerchief. And Mom and her cap. Do you remember that story? And the little one, all snug in their bed, it does squeak, doesn't it? The visions of what in their heads?
Sugar plums.
Sugar plums, that's right. You did, okay. And what was downstairs?
Christmas.
A Christmas tree. And what arrived? A tiny reindeer, remember? Yeah. And the story began, and this time it's the end. What ran all through the house? Mice. Right? Yeah, that's supposed to be a little mouse. You can't tell too well there, but
okay.
Not a creature was stirring, not even a mouse, remember that? Yeah. Okay, and to me it was just interesting, and the doll that my grandmother had was actually just looked like a doll. And I found this years ago, and I really like to collect Santas, so I collected the Santa. But there's another one, and I'll bring this one a different time and show you what's inside it, because it's different. What's on the outside? Okay, right? Just like your scene over there, right? A nativity scene, or a creche, it's called, which was the night Jesus was born, right? But this doll is not a story just about Christmas. This doll is a story about Jesus. So I'll bring it another time and show you. But the thing about it is, the reason I think I like those dolls is that you can't always go by what's on the outside, right? Somebody can look rough or grumpy, and you talk to them, and they have to be a really nice person, right? You have to look inside of people and see what they're really like. And the good news for us is that God always looks inside of us and sees what we're like and knows us and loves us, even if sometimes we don't always do the right thing. But God's love is always there. And tonight is Christmas, so I did bring along some dolls, kind of, for you. These are actually ornaments for a Christmas tree. These were made by a mission program, and they worked with families who didn't have a lot of money, and they taught them how to make these, and they would make these and sell them, and through the church, and those then were used to help very poor people in some other countries. And they made them all out of fibers from plants that grew in their country. So I invite you to take those home and hang them on your tree if you have a space for them. And remember that God loves all people, us and people all over the world, and that God always sees what we're like inside, and God loves us as we are. And we should look at other people and see not just how they look on the outside, but also how they look on the inside. Thanks so much for coming up. But before you go, may we pray? Okay. Dear Jesus, thank you for coming to love us. Thank you for coming again to us this night in your word and in your sacrament. And thank you for living within us. Help us to show others your love by how we live. And help us, Lord, always to see other people as you see them. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
The first reading tonight comes from the book of Isaiah. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who lived in a land of deep darkness, on them the light has shined. You have multiplied the nation. You have increased its joy. They rejoice before you as with joy at the harvest, as people exult when dividing plunder. For the yoke of their burden and the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor, you have broken as on the day of Midian. For all the boots of the tampering warriors and all the garments rolled in blood shall be burned as fuel for the fire. For a God has been born for us, a son given to us, authority rests upon his shoulders, and he is named Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. His authority shall grow continually, and there shall be endless peace for the throne of David and his kingdom. He will establish and uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time onward and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The psalm for today is Psalm 96. O sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord all the earth.
Sing to the Lord, bless his name. Tell of his salvation from day to day.
Declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous works among all the peoples.
For great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. He is to be revered above all gods.
For all the gods of the peoples are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Ascribe to the Lord, O families of the peoples, ascribe to the Lord glory and strength.
Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come unto his courts.
Worship the Lord in holy splendor. Tremble before him, all the earth. Let the heavens be glad, and let the earth rejoice. Let the sea roar, and all that fills it.
Let the field exult, everything in it. Then shall all the trees of the forest sing for joy.
Before the Lord, for he is coming. For he is coming to judge the earth. He will judge the world with righteousness, and the peoples with his truth. Second reading comes from the book of Titus. For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all, training us to renounce impiety and worldly passions, and in the present age to live lives that are self-controlled, upright, and godly, while we wait for the blessed hope and the manifestation of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. He it is who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all the iniquity and purify himself a people of his own who are zealous for good deeds. The word of the Lord.
Gospel according to St. Luke, the second chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration and was taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. All went to their own towns to be registered. Joseph also went from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea to the city of David called Bethlehem, because he was descended from the house and family of David. He went to be registered with Mary, to whom he was engaged and who was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for her to deliver her child, and she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in bands of cloth and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. In that region there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign for you, that you will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth, and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace among those whom he favors." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place, which is the Lord has made known to us." So they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the child lying in the manger. When they saw this, they made known what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured all these words and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told them. The Gospel of the Lord. Grace to you and peace from God our Creator and Jesus Christ our Lord and Savior. The thing about Christmas Eve is that you've all heard the story. You've all sung the song. You've all experienced this night at least a few times for the children, and for some of us, more times than we can count unless we work at counting. And you know the story. So the challenge, it seems to me, is for us to try to understand the story in a way that may be a little different, in a way that may help us reflect on exactly how exciting this story is, how exciting it was for those who experienced the story, how much it meant to them. Because we hear it so often, I think it's sometimes hard for us to hear it with fresh eyes and fresh hearts. And one of the things I thought about was looking back at the way Martin Luther described it all those hundreds of years ago in the early days of what would become the Lutheran Church. I wanted to share with you a couple of things he said. "Behold Christ lying in the lap of his young mother, still a virgin. What can be sweeter than the babe? What more lovely than the mother? What fairer than her youth? What more gracious than her virginity? Look at the child, knowing nothing. Yet all that is belongs to him, that your conscience should not fear, but take comfort in him. Doubt nothing. Watch him springing in the lap of the maiden. Laugh with him. Look upon the Lord of peace, and your spirit will be at peace. See how God invites you in many ways. He places before you a babe with whom you may take refuge. You cannot fear him, for nothing is more appealing than a babe. Are you affrighted? Then come to him, lying in the lap of the fairest and sweetest young maid. You will see how great is the divine goodness, which seeks above all else that you should not despair. Trust him. Here is the child in whom is salvation. To me there is no greater consolation given to mankind than this, that Christ became a man, a child, a babe, lying in the lap of a most gracious mother. Who is there whom this sight would not comfort? Now is overcome the power of sin, death, hell, conscience, and guilt. If you come to know this gurgling babe and believe that he has come not to judge you, but to save. That's the way Luther described this baby on this young woman's lap. We read the story in Scripture. Luke tells us the story of the baby's birth. The other Gospels present the beginning of Jesus' ministry in a different way. But Luke gives us this picture of a young couple going to a far place. Now that far place was, in fact, Joseph's home place, you could say, in the sense that that's where he came from. So they were going back there. When we read the word that talks about an innkeeper, the word actually is not so much an innkeeper, and probably was actually a relative of Joseph. But the problem is there are so many people forced to go back to the city that there's no room in a regular room in the house. It's possible that Joseph's property there was not even a house, that Joseph simply owned some land. And that's why he had to go back to this place for the census. And so they end up with a stable, but the animals that came in at night to these stables, or perhaps some of the legends say a cave that was next door to this place that people stayed. Now Luther would tell us that, what do you mean there's no room in the inn? There was plenty of room in the inn. All somebody had to do was give up their room for this young couple. But they didn't do it. But nevertheless, the baby came. The baby came that night. And if you look at the pictures, I've never delivered a child, but I can't imagine a woman who had just delivered a child looking that peaceful and pleasant. I don't know. Some of you who have can correct me on that, but it's always seemed to me that our image of Mary there with the baby is so peaceful and so restful that it's hard to imagine she just delivered a baby. But she did. In this place. And that baby would come to give us our salvation. And the people that it's announced to in Luke's gospel are not the well-to-do or the powerful. Now Matthew will tell us the story of the Magi, these foreign kings who came to worship the baby. But Luke tells us the story of shepherds who were looked down on, perhaps even despised by some people. And yet that's who the angels came to, the shepherds in the fields, watching their flocks, stinky and dirty, because that's the nature of being a shepherd in that ancient world. And yet the angels came there and announced to them, not the priests or the Levites, or the powerful people, but the shepherds in the field. And they were the ones who first heard the good news of the coming of the baby. And they went. And the striking thing is it wasn't just an angel. It says it was a multitude of angels. The whole sky lit up with these angels singing and announcing. And they heard. And despite their doubts, they went to check it out. And they found this simple child with a simple father who was a laborer and a young mother, surrounded by the animals. And that was this new king. No one's image of a king. No one's image of a savior. And yet that's who God chose. And that's where God sent the baby. It's important for us to understand how God works is not the way we work. How God judges is not the way we judge. How God saves is not the way we save. God turns the world upside down. And in turning the world upside down, he offers us an opportunity to find hope in the midst of struggle and difficulty, to find peace in the midst of suffering and loss, to find joy in the midst of struggles and difficulties in life. Mary, this young woman, probably 13 or 14, brought forth her firstborn in a stable. No nurses or midwives, no towels or tables, no hot water or pans of cold water even. Just her and Joseph in a stable. And in that stable, that baby was born. A little baby, Luther would say, as weak as an earthworm lying in the feed box of a donkey, and that little baby crushes the devil's back and overcomes the powers of hell and sin and death. And what did the shepherds do? They went back to their fields and their flocks. A good thing for the flocks, because they depended on the shepherds. And pondered what they had seen. And it says that Mary pondered all these things in her heart. She changed the dirty diapers, held this child wrapped tightly in cloths, because that's really how they helped them develop the first couple of weeks, to wrap them up tight so their arms and legs would be strong. That was the baby. That was the night. And as wonderful as it was not as peaceful and as clean and as neat as our creches are. But those creches remind us of the baby and remind us of the night and remind us that God works in ways we don't understand or comprehend. When I was a child, a man wrote a poem that I discovered years later when I was in college. And I remembered it, and I have held on to it all these years, because it reminds us, it seems to me, how spectacular that night was and how important it is and how God's work is different from our expectations. Christ climbed down from his bare tree this year. Remember that tree is the word also used for the cross in the Bible. And ran away to where there were no rootless Christmas trees hung with candy canes and breakable stars. Christ climbed down from his bare tree this year and ran away to where there were no gilded Christmas trees and no tinsel Christmas trees and no tin foil Christmas trees and no pink plastic Christmas trees and no gold Christmas trees, and no black Christmas trees, no powder blue Christmas trees hung with electric candles and encircled by 10 electric trains. I think you had to grow up a long time ago to remember those trees. But there was a time in my childhood when all those different colors of plastic trees were sold, and I don't think my mother ever let us buy one. But we did have a tin foil Christmas tree, wasn't it? Christ climbed down from his bear tree this year and ran away to where no intrepid Bible salesman covered the territory in two-tone Cadillacs and where no Sears Roebuck creches complete with plastic babe and manger arrived by parcel posts and babe by special delivery, and where no televised wise men praised the Lord Calvert Whiskey. Some of these images you had to grow up in a different era to understand what they were about. But I remember all those things. Christ climbed down from his bear tree this year and softly stole away into some anonymous Mary's womb again, where in the darkest night of everybody's anonymous soul, he awaits again an unimaginable and impossibly immaculate reconception, the very craziest of second comings. We need to remember that that night was unexpected and unexplainable and beyond our ability to understand. It went against everything the people of the day would have expected for the Messiah. And yet that's the way God works. And our job is to share that good news of a God who breaks all the rules, to share his love with a broken world. As we seek to be Christ to one another, and as we open our hearts to see Christ in others, no matter what their outside looks like, Christ climbs down every time we gather together to worship and listen to his word. Christ climbs down every time we gather at the holy table and share in his bread and wine. Christ climbs down again and is among us whenever we witness to God's grace and mercy to those in need around us. Christmas is a day to celebrate all the blessings we have in our family and friends. But it's a day to remember that God continues to work in the world and touch lives, but he does it through us, who are called to be his hands and his voice and his feet and share the good news. Amen.
Oh,
Let us affirm our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, the only Son of our Lord.
He was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
As we worship the newborn Son of God, let us also pray that he may bring healing, salvation, and peace to the church, the world, and all its people. Lord Jesus Christ, we come to your cradle with joy and wonder. We adore you for your loving kindness. We thank you for making yourself small and meek, that we might approach you gladly and without fear. Thank you, dear Jesus. Accept our hearts as our best and loving gift. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Make your one holy church your manger and your throne. Bless it with your presence, your goodness, and your holy love. Let it constantly announce your mercy and favor to all who receive you into their hearts and lives. Where in anything it is amiss or in error, correct and restore it to wholeness. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Make this congregation a welcome place to all, as the Bethlehem stable was to Mary and Joseph. Give us joyful souls, eager to adore and proclaim your precious name. Give us generous hearts, so that we see and welcome you in the unexpected people touching our lives. Give us tireless hands and feet, so we may hurry to share your great love with those who need it most. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Lord Jesus, bless all the dear children who most need your tender care. Kindle faith in their hearts and keep them safe from every danger. Grant peace as well as childlike and humble faith to everyone who doubts your existence or despairs of your forgiveness. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Angels sang of peace and goodwill at your birth. In this sinful world, violence troubles our world. Even on this holy night, let your holy angels shield, strengthen, and direct the words and actions of all in the military, all first responders, and anyone whose work is difficult and dangerous. Bring justice and mercy to places of discord and chaos, and bestow blessings of your peace upon us all. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
O Son of Righteousness, arise with healing in your wings, and bestow the light of your salvation upon all who sit in darkness of suffering and the shadow of death. Restore them to life and hope. Encourage all who care for them. We pray especially for those dear and near to us, naming them in our hearts or upon our lips. Lord, in your mercy, Lord Jesus, you have come to save us from evil, from our sins, and from death. Grant peace to those whose grief is still raw and deep. Stay near us, love us, and guide us throughout our lives, so we may be a blessing to others. At the last, bring all your dear children to live with you forever in the holy light of your love, with your Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Lord, in your mercy, hear and mercifully answer our prayers, dear Lord, according to the favor you bear for your people. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always.
And also with you. Peace be with you.
us pray. Holy God, gracious and merciful, you bring forth food from the earth and nourish your whole creation. Turn our hearts toward those who hunger in any way, that all may know your care, and prepare us now to a feast on the bread of life, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
O come, let us lift our hearts unto the Lord.
With hearts uplifted, thanks to him we render. With joy we come before him, in gratefulness implore him. With thankful hearts adore him, evermore.
In which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat, this is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is a new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name.
Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
May the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace.
Let us pray. We give you thanks, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through the healing power of this gift of life. In your mercy, strengthen us through this gift in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. For the sake of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
May the good Lord bless and keep you, cause his face on you to shine, look on you with favor deep, granting you his peace divine.
Go in peace. Christ is with us.
Thanks be to God.